Why did I share all that? Why did we have to walk through an 1,100 years before the event accounting? Because in every way that God's word promised Christ's death would occur, God fulfilled that. God did what he promised. God always keeps his word. I could go on, and I would like to just do one more. Turn back with me to Isaiah 53. And I just want to remind you, this is a monumental week that we should be much spending time thinking about Resurrection Sunday. Isaiah 53 is a great place to do it. And if you haven't picked a place to meditate this week, to get ready for Thursday night's communion, to get ready for Sunday morning celebration at 7:30 and 8:30 and 10:30, if you haven't got a place, Psalm 22, one of the richest passages in the Bible that I just went through, Isaiah 53, another one of the most rich places for gold mining about Jesus Christ. Look what it says. This is the exactness of the promises of God. Isaiah was written 750 years before Christ's death, and it emphasizes one thing over and over again. And there's only one thing I want to point out from Isaiah 53, and that is Isaiah said that the death of Christ on the cross would be substitutionary. Look at verse 4 of Isaiah 53. He hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Now, look up for a minute from your Bible, and I want you to think of a verse most of you know by heart. It says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me. And here is the summary of the gospel by Paul. And gave himself for me. How did Paul summarize the whole gospel? He did it in those little words, gave himself for me. He summarized everything Christ did as a giving himself for me. What do we call that theologically? Substitutionary atonement. Look what Isaiah 53 verse 4 says. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was dying not for himself but for another. Look at verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was a substitute for us. He was bruised for our iniquities. He took mine. It's a substitutionary offering. He was chastised for our peace. He was striped for our healing. All substitutionary. Look at verse 6. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us. Again, a substitute. Look at verse 11. He shall bear their iniquity. Isaiah 53. Look at verse 12. He was numbered with the transgressors and bore the sin of many, made intercession for the transgressors. All of that is a picture of a substitute. So what did Isaiah say 8 centuries before Jesus, 750 years before Christ? What did he say? He said he was going to be a substitute. Amazing. You can see more exact details in the surrounding area. It says in verse 14 of chapter 52, just look at Isaiah 52:14, the verse just before. His visage was so marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of men. The abuse at the hands of the soldiers is graphically portrayed. Isaiah saw that. Look at 53:7. He is serene. Before all this horror, Jesus was. He was oppressed, verse 7 says. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and his sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Look at verse 8. Here's the verdict of that mock trial. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who will declare his generation? Who's going to stand up for him? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And then look at verse 9. His death with criminals and his burial with a rich man. Both are beautifully portrayed. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. That, you talk about a strange little, until the cross, that one was an enigma. People would say he made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. What is that? It's being crucified between two criminals, as a criminal. So he was with the wicked. But he was gently lowered and carried with loving hands and watched over by loving eyes and buried in a borrowed tomb with the rich, a rich man's tomb. The prophetic exactness.